Blog Talk Radio.
All right. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday. Sun, Helios, Day, Deity. Sunday, February the 11th of 2018. And the time is 3 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very important topic for you today. Part B, I guess, or continuation a little bit of yesterday's show when we was talking about, you know, under over and understanding this ideal of abundance. And more importantly than abundance, we jumped into yesterday talking about how it is that each one of us on this planet are stuck or kicking against the prick, meaning that we are fighting against ourselves because we have brought into this ideal that something is wrong with ourselves. Since society, self-improvement is a multi-billion dollar industry that says you need to improve yourself. That's why we have such things as cosmic surgery, and that's why we have all of this other craziness that is going on because nobody likes themselves. And so we are kicking against the prick, and the prick is ourselves. It's really interesting because how can you go anywhere or do anything when what you're trying to go and do you hate? Meaning what you think you want, you don't want. Let me say that again. What you think you want, you don't want. That's evidence of the self-improvement movement. Meaning when you get to a goal, the goal is unfulfilling. That's why we have such things as goals. Very few people have godliness plus contentment, myself included. Why? We're not content. We're not happy. How many people do you know that are happy being and doing and having where they are right now? So today we want to continue with understanding why we keep repeating the same behavior over and over again, why we are caught in this loop, why we keep on doing the same things even though we know we're not going to change the result. It's interesting that people say that they want to be better, meaning we have goals. The goals could be we want to make more money. Maybe we have a goal of becoming more healthy. Maybe we have a goal of obtaining more esoteric knowledge. Maybe we have a goal of establishing or improving the existing relationship or establishing a new relationship. Maybe that's a goal. So why do we keep repeating the behavior that destroys the goal or at least advancement towards the goal? This is called Groundhog's Day. I remember there was a movie called Groundhog's Day where the guy kept living the same day over and over and over again. There is a reason why you are living Groundhog's Day and why you keep repeating the same behavior. The reason why that you are living Groundhog's Day and you keep repeating the same behavior over and over again is because the key to getting out of the loop is your diakonia, your destiny, or your uniqueness, meaning your problem, your flaw. Your flaw is the key to exit the matrix. If you're fortunate enough to be blessed or gifted with a mental illness, you are more gifted than everybody else. I think it was Brother Roman, a good friend of mine, who posted this chart on Facebook that shows the benefits of being or having autism, or the benefits, for example, me being bipolar. The benefits of being bipolar is crystal clear clarity, meaning that you focus on one pole or the other. So when people say that you are abnormal, you should say thank you very much. Whatever your problem is, that's your product. The problem is we think problems are here to be solved instead of being embraced. So since what we are doing is we are engaging in an interference pattern. We are producing a pattern that interferes with our success. The way that you think right now is an interference pattern. This is called the double helix experiment in science. Science can figure out if you shot a beam of light, a photon, through one slit, it produces two slits. But if an observer observes it, it produces an interference pattern. Why? When you visualize the dream, you become the dream. That means you interfere with the dream. In other words, visualization is the process of creating Groundhog's Day. Let me say that again. Visualization, intention, or looking at something, produces an interference pattern. What does that mean? Groundhog's Day is when we keep repeating the same pattern or the same behavior and we can't stop. If you keep learning or teaching the same thing that you've been learning and teaching, you will keep getting the same results. Since we keep observing the same things that we are observing, we keep producing the same pattern. So the best way to learn something is to teach something. Let me say that again. The best way to learn it is to teach it. But very few of us are qualified in our brains to think, or not to think, to teach. So we're waiting. That waiting is Groundhog's Day. Groundhog's Day is the fact that you're waiting to do and to be and to have what you dream about every day. You're waiting for somebody outside of you to validate you. I did it for 50 years. I don't do that bullshitness no more. Now, if I want it, I create it. The time period, why do things take so long to manifest in your life? Why are you living Groundhog's Day over and over again? Why are you keep repeating the same behavior when that behavior is not what you really want? Now, you're probably going to do what I did. You're going to lie to yourself. You're going to say, self, I am happy, when you know you ain't happy because you got more bills than money. You know you ain't happy because your health is not where you would like it to be. You know where you're not unhappy because your knowledge base is not where it should be. And you really know that you are unhappy because you're in a relationship that sucks. And so regardless of what type of a goal that you are attempting to achieve, it is absolutely imperative that you become the person who exemplifies or who has all of the qualities and characteristics and the habits that's going to fulfill that goal. If you don't do that, my brothers and sisters, you are in trouble, because that is the only way by which to change your disposition. That's it. That is the only way. If you don't do that, brothers and sisters, you're in trouble. It's very important that you understand that, because if you don't, what happens is you keep repeating the same behavior over and over again. So let's get into this. I got a dream. You got a dream. We all got a dream, but we got a problem that prevents us from achieving that dream. We don't know that the problem is the key to solving the problem. We haven't been taught to embrace our flaws, because there is no such thing as a flaw. We've been lied to. We've been duped into believing we need to go get. Somebody told us that we are a human getting, that we're not a human being, even though we're not a human being. This causes an interference pattern. Your intention is a pattern, and your imaginary problem is a pattern. Those two dispositions interferes with your ability to become the dream. Right now you have a ideal or your imagination. That is your desire. But you have something called a problem that's preventing you from fulfilling your desire. That keeps you inside of the loop, because until you fix this problem, you cannot obtain your desire. So when you visualize the dream, you become the dream. That's good and bad. But it goes way deeper than that. See, right now you are expecting something to happen. That's called unrealistic expectations. And right now you have decided to put your energy or to give your energy away to something, to someone, probably a Reverend Dr. Bishop, or your spouse, or your problem. When you expect or when you decide to place your dependency on something or someone, you give your energy to that something or someone, and your energy comes from that thing or that one. Relationships. You're in love, right? Your toes have been curled. You are head over heels in love. You get all of your worth and your value from the person that you love. They give you energy. One day, that person that gives you your energy decides they don't love you no more. Now you got a problem. Since you've misplaced your dependency, that person controls you. Now, you don't want to be controlled, but every day you think about Jim Bob or Susie Q. And Jim Bob or Susie Q is the carrot, and they got you walking around like a puppet on a string. Now, you gave your power to Jim Bob or Susie Q, but you don't remember when you fell in love instead of elevating in love. See, I didn't read about this in the book. I lived it. So while everybody else is regurgitating somebody else's message, I have the key to getting out of the matrix. What is the key to exiting the matrix? Your uniqueness, your dear Kinnear, your niche or your purpose. You call it a flaw. I'm a functional illiterate. I can't really understand the meaning of the English language, so I have to look it up. Now I get paid money to look up the definitions of words. I have monetized my problem. I made my problem my bitch. I highly recommend you do the same. Unfortunately, you have something called a brain that is interfering in your pattern. It's producing an interference pattern. This interference pattern is called Groundhog's Day. This is why your life will continue to be a reoccurring loop, like mine was for 50 years, until you decide to look that problem in the eye, and then you decide to take your energy back from being misplaced and misapplied. And you decide to not expect the white man or the blue man or the green man or the yellow man or the brown man. When you decide to stop waiting for, you know, your savior to come, when you decide to stop waiting for a handout from the government, when you decide to stop waiting for FEMA to come in and give you some, when you decide to stop waiting for your 40 acres and a mule, black man, when you decide, it's never going to happen until you decide. See, the universe only responds to a made-up mind. The problem is you ain't made up your mind. Groundhog's Day is a mind that ain't made up. See, all my dogs hunt because when I make up my mind to do something, I empower myself with the ability to have something. Now, the problem is something called inertia, time. So now, first of all, let me give you the key to the kingdom. It's called intention. Now, somebody should write that down because tomorrow you're not going to remember it. See, it's nobody else's responsibility to take care of you but you. Now, I know this is probably contrary to your theology. You probably, you know, come from, depending on where you're from or what you've been taught, you may be under the misunderstanding that somebody owes you something. So you're going through your life waiting. Maybe you was married for a long time and, you know, you feel like your husband or your spouse did you dirty, and so you know what? They got to pay, homie. Or maybe you got unjustly incarcerated. I mean, a lot of people in prison that were unjustly, DNA evidence comes out. I registered one guy, 40 years in prison. DNA evidence came out, said that he was innocent. He's released. Now, he's in a predicament. See, as a little kid growing up, you guys know the story. I thank God for going through what I did because it forced me. So I used to get beat, have to fast, walk around in circles, do all this other crazy shizness. So I had an issue. See, I wanted to find the lady that beat my mom and beat me, and I wanted to put my hands around her throat, you know, just for about 5 minutes. No, probably not even that long. It wouldn't take me that long. That's all I wanted. See, I had anger issues. Y'all don't understand. So all my life, I was pigeonholed. It's called arrested development disorder. See, when a traumatic event happens in your life, it stops your development. Now, and it produces something called emotional blockage. So your emotions are backed up, and then it manifests in your body, woman, as a dis-ease, a fibroid tumor or cancer or some other type of a hormonal or secretion or secret. So you got a secret that's stopping your secretions. So it manifests in your body. Or you walk around here with three bellies, you know, because, again, that cortisol. And women, you hold fat in your abdomen and behind your arms on your triceps. Or men, men, we're not excluded either, brothers. We have the same issues because we're mad because Susie Q left us for, you know, maybe your wife dumped you for your brother. Maybe she, you know, hey, maybe your cousin, maybe uncle, who knows. But in any event, you got some trauma. Now, remember, it is actually true. See, the problem is that when I talk to people, they tell me, say, Brother Will, you don't understand, dog. This happened, homie. This, and you be talking about perceived. My perception is my reality. Now, remember, oppression is perceived, something that is cruel, hard, and is cruel, harsh, and unjust. It is perceived. So people tell me all the time, so I'm taking the word perceived out. So everybody's part of the Clarionomics and life management system. We will no longer be using the word perceived. It is cruel, harsh. What happened to me as a kid was cruel. It was harsh. It was unjust. So I got a right, brother. I got a right, sister, to walk around with a spirit of entitlement. Everybody owes me something. God done it. I had a bad childhood. Somebody got to pay. So the lady who did it to me, she's dead and gone, so she can't pay. So you got to pay. Everybody owes me, man. I ain't got to do nothing but watch TV and eat Captain Crunch cereal. I got a spirit of entitlement. I got a spirit of expectation. I got a spirit of unrealistic and misplaced dependency. I'm depending upon somebody outside of me to take care of me, Groundhog Day. I have unrealistic expectations, and I've misplaced my dependency. I put my dependency in somebody else. Now it's the white man's responsibility to give me 40 acres and a mule. Hell, I'm a descendant of a slave. I got the psychological effects of slavery. Willie Lynch had a white man owes me, man. I ain't doing nothing but watching TV and eating my Captain Crunch cereal. Waiting. Oh, I'm going to go to church on Sundays, and I'm going to hang on till next Sunday because my blessing's coming. Y'all know the story? Groundhog's Day. Every Sunday, same old shizness. And what changes in your life? I'm telling you, if this doesn't marinate and if you can't wrap your brain around it, you're going to be just like me. You're going to be knocking on 60 and doing the same shizness that you were doing when you was freaking 20. But see, I got out of the loop. It took me a while. I'm a slow learner. Y'all know I'm a slow learner. Ain't no shame in my game. But guess what? I learned. I'm slow. But I do learn. The interference pattern is gone. Now I have something called purpose. Now everybody comes along and try to get me to do shizness that has nothing to do with my purpose. Before, I was so starved for validation that somebody said, hey, Brother Will, we're going to come over here and we're going to let you speak on our program, and we're going to give you 5 minutes. at the end of our one-hour presentation. You know, I'll be, yes, sir, throw me that crumb, sir. I'll be happy to speak at your event, sir. Yeah, just, oh, okay, so 5 minutes, oh, I'm just going to introduce the speaker. Yes, sir. I'll be a good house nickel. I'll show up. That used to be me. See, you probably in that same Groundhog's Day. See, you don't understand that your problem is your product. So you're sitting around here, and you're just happy. All you want to do is just make a face on post something on Facebook and get 10 people to like it, and you feel validated. You get that release of that dopamine in your body. You're like, I'm the bomb. You're a Facebook journalist. You're posting novels on Facebook because your release, you satisfy with likes, Facebook likes. Oh, maybe you're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Tube Mobile, Snapchat. I don't give a beep. You're getting your validation. You're getting your lucky strikes. You're getting your ego stroked because you like to be a Facebook journalist. Because in your own heart, you want to be a real journalist, but you ain't got the cojones. How do I know? Been there, done that, got 2 T-shirts. Now, you should be saying, well, Brother Will, what's wrong with that, brother? Yeah, you know, well, let me tell you what's wrong with that. That ain't your niche. That's not the key to exit the matrix. Now, let me make sure you understand the depth of the statement, because why do you keep repeating the same behavior? Because you have believed the lie that posting novels on Facebook is actually doing some good. Or like me, you believed the lie that you have no worth and no value. Or like me, you believe what you're saying ain't good enough. Or the quality ain't good enough. Or other people is doing it. Or nobody want to hear from a short black man from Forest, Texas. Or I don't care what excuse you got. All I got to do is say one thing, and then this is going to come up. Guaranteed. I'm going to ask you one question. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, I got a question for you. What do you love to do? Now, you should say, well, I like to play an instrument. I like to ride horses. I like to paint. I like to draw. I like to do whatever you like to do. My next question to you is, how come you're not doing it? You say, well, Brother Will, I am doing it. My next question is to you is, have you monetized it? How much money are you getting paid for it? And then if you have not monetized it, I'm going to ask you why. You know what you're going to tell me? You're going to say, well, Brother Will, I don't, you know, nobody sees. Or you're going to do like me. You're going to say, well, you know what? I haven't developed my product to the level yet. But that's all called excuses or coping mechanisms. See, you got to cope with this inferiority process. Now, remember, it's an interference pattern. It ain't the real pattern. See, your spirit is perfect. Ain't no such thing. So you mean to tell me in the spirit realm, that's where I hang out, there's problems. There ain't no problems in the spirit realm. There is no poverty. There is no lack. There is no dis-ease, no uneasiness. There is no ignorance. There is no relationships. Now, I need you to understand, because in the spirit realm, we are all one. Let me say it again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. There is no male or female. So all this squabbling, you know, 90% of people's problems is in relationships. I used to be that, too. I don't have no problems now. Because why? Relationships don't exist. Now, I know. That's contrary to your theology. I understand. But when you reach my age, yeah, the light gonna come on. Just give it some time, bro. So, but what do you mean? Well, let me tell you what I mean. I don't give my energy to nobody. I'm a single standing column of waveform energy. Meaning, somebody might want to write this down. What do you feel? How do you feel while you are waiting for what you want? Now, let me make sure you understand the statement, because remember, Groundhog's Day is when you are in a perpetual cycle of waiting because where you want to go, be, and have hasn't arrived yet. So what do you do while you are waiting for your new car to show up? What do you do while you're waiting for your boo-boo to show up? What do you do while you are waiting, my brother? What do you do while you are waiting, my sister? Well, let me say it this way. Can you live without it until you get it? Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say it again. I still don't know if you understand the ramifications of the statement. So you like this fine filly, right? Yeah, she got a big badonky donk. You know, she got the hair and the nails and makeup. You know, and, you know, you like head over heels in love. So what do you do until you get Susie Q to have and be interested in you? And how do you feel? Now, let me let you understand the depth of the statement, because, again, can you live without money until you get money? Can you live without health until you get health? Can you live without wisdom until you get wisdom? Can you live without relationship until you get relationship? You can't live without it. You can't get it. Now, the universe is kind of fickle like that, because the universe is cruel in the fact that the universe doesn't understand why you have wants. The universe doesn't understand that, because the universe doesn't want anything. The universe is a single standing column of waveform energy. The universe is one. The universe doesn't have anything outside of itself. The universe is itself. So the universe doesn't understand when it sees itself asking for itself. The universe doesn't understand that. So right now, you are unconsciously concerned, and whatever you are concerned about is what you bring about. Since you are concerned about your lack of money, you bring in more lack of money. Since you are concerned about your lack of health, you are bringing and attracting more lack of health. Since you are concerned about your lack of wisdom, you are establishing more ignorance. Since you are concerned about your lack of relationship, you're having more lack of relationship. But see, the moment, the second, the day, the hour, the minute that you don't give a flying bleep about your relationship, about your health, about your wisdom, and about the status of your bank account physically, because, see, we've been lied to. We think that the physical realm is the real realm. If you really understood the depth of the statement I just made, your whole life would change, because you wouldn't have no – now, let me show you understand what I'm saying. Friendship with this world will make you an enemy of God. Friendship with concerns make you an enemy of success. Friendship with poverty makes you an enemy of success. Friendship with ignorance makes you an enemy of wisdom. Friendship with disease, being concerned about it, that makes you a friend of it. The way you order is by your concern. Whatever you're concerned about is like going to a restaurant and you say, I'm concerned about the status of my health. And they say, okay, so you want more problems in the area of health? That what you're ordering? And you're saying, yes, sir, I'm concerned about my health right now. So the waiter, the universe says, give that individual more things to be concerned about, because that's what they want. So you order by how you are concerned. So let me ask the question again, brother. Let me ask the question again, sister. What are you concerned about? Whatever you're concerned about, that's what you're getting in your life. Just look around, homie. Look around. You see all of your concerns. They're all lined up. So I highly recommend you get to the place where you don't have no concerns. Now, the quest that you should be embarking upon, the journey is, well, how do we detach from this world? Well, Jesus had an interesting way of doing it. He said to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Since he is, again, the way, the truth, the life. Emphasis on the word life. That's why I have the life management system. So on February the 15th, I need you to go to my website, masterteacher33.com, pick a link that says donation. If you're part of the life management system, you know what? Yeah, we're going to make it free for the life management members. You know what? You ain't got to pay a dime, bro. Just show up. If you're not a part of the life management system, it's going to cost you 100 bones. Now, you should be saying to yourself, now, what you should say is, regardless of your physical bones, money you got in your pocket, you should say, I'm going to be there. Your intention should be to be on the call for the 7-hour life management system, where I guarantee you I got $10,000 if somebody can present a problem to me in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, or relationship that I can't solve. Let me say the challenge again. So you're going to come on the call. Now, I'm going to give you the solution to every problem known to the human race. Any problem in the area of wealth, I can solve it in about 5 minutes, less than that. All I need is your name and your date of birth. Any problem, I can tell you exactly why. I'll prove it to you on February the 15th. Please join me. Cost is $100, free for life management members. Originally, it was $25, but you know what? Life management members, y'all need to be there so bad, because I got all these people like saying, Brother Will, like, yeah, dog, we like, you know, what you're doing. Everything is working, but it's going too slow. Really. So I had somebody who, you know, I'm not going to even go there. But let me make sure you guys understand. The reality that you are in right now is not real. It's fake. There is no such thing as problems. It is an interference pattern. It is interfering with your ability to see yourself as whole or one. You decide where your energy comes from by how you place your concerns. If you are concerned about your wife, you just gave your wife your power. If you are concerned about your health, you just gave disease your power. If you are concerned about wealth, you just gave poverty your power. Your energy, which is your inner, I-N-N-E-R-G. Now, let me make sure you understand what I am saying. If you do not love without ownership, ownership means possession. Possession means you have a divided consciousness, a divided reality. You are looking to own, possess, control, wear something that you already got. The enemy plays a dirty trick, the enemy being you, the old ego self, that divided itself to experience this reality. Now you just need to go back home. That's why I call the life management system returning to source. So if you return to source, guess what happens? Sickness, now remember, source is all benevolent. That's it. That means it's agathon in the Greek, A-G-A-T-H-O-N. It means unconditional love. That's you. So anything else that is outside of unconditional love is not you. So what is it if it's not you? So you're telling me that it exists. Okay, on a subatomic quantum level, they say that everything that is visible is made up of something that is invisible. That's biblical scripture inside of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It says all the things, the world was created by the word. So invisibility or visibility comes from invisibility. Now, let me tell you the secret to life that's inside of the biblical narrative, why Jesus Christ can say, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man goes to the Father, return home, returns back to the baton, the generator, except through me. How come Buddha can't make that statement? How come Muhammad can't make that statement? Let me tell you why. So Jesus Christ says that I am the way. The name Jesus, the title Christ, is code for, again, loving without ownership. That's the only way to return back to source. So when the preacher says that statement, what he's saying is true. Unfortunately, most people reject it because they think he's talking about a person instead of a system. So it says in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, I recommend that you read it for yourself, that all scripture or all things are an allegory inside of the Helios Biblios. Now, I know that it's contrary to your theology, but without overstanding the book of Revelation, the word revelation, again, means revelator. It has to do with the revelation or the unveiling. So the word revelation means the unveiling of the allegory. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. The word, now Jesus himself said that I don't teach unless I teach in a parable. Jesus said that. I didn't. Now let me read, so that tells me everything that I think is real is an allegory, and it is not real unless I give it real. How do I give it real? By being concerned. The moment, the second you are concerned, you give it power. Your power. You gave it your dunamis power. The devil has no power unless you give it to him. Poverty has no power unless you give it power. Sickness has no power unless you give it power. Ignorance has no power unless you give it power. Bad relationships have no power unless you give it power. You are giving away your power. It's called misplaced dependency and unrealistic expectations. You're expecting something to happen that is not going to happen unless I can con you into giving it power. You got to blow up that balloon for the balloon to have air. The balloon is deflated unless you put air in it. Heavenly Father, touch the mouths of your people. The problem doesn't exist unless you blow it up. How do you blow it up? Being concerned. How are you concerned? You give it attention. How do you give it attention? You look at it. How do you look at it? You think about it. People say, well, Brother Will, you know, I'm not thinking about it, brother. You know what? I'm just going to make sure. Okay. That's that's another way of saying it. I knew my son Kendrick when he was a little kid. Was kicking the door. And I said, Kendrick, stop kicking that door. And he said, Dad, I'm not kicking the door. I'm placing my foot on it. That's what a lot of us do. A lot of us are so intelligent that we are stupid. Not you personally. People that you know. Well, let me rephrase that. Me. I'll talk about myself. So I'm so intelligent that I became stupid. The word parable means a short allegory or short allegorical story designed to illustrate or to teach a truth, a principle, or a moral story. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that again. The word parable, and now Jesus himself said, I don't teach ever unless I teach in a parable. See me, I don't teach ever unless I teach didactically. So I'm a didactic teacher. To my knowledge, I'm the only one on earth. That's my uniqueness is my key to exit out of reincarnation. That's why this is the last time I'm chimp. That's why I say at the end of every show, I will see you in eternity. I'm going to give you the key. That's your uniqueness. That's the thing that makes you totally different from every other atom, every photon on the freaking planet and off the planet. But you don't want to be unique. You want to blend in with everybody else. Why do you think they want to give you a uniform that matches? Why do they want you to live like? Why do you think they want you to be a part of the concrete jungle? Why do you think they want you to assimilate? Because if I can destroy your uniqueness, I have destroyed you. And let me make sure that you understand the depth of the statement, because the word parable simply means a short allegory. Now, remember, I said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, that's where we get this. That's where I get it from. So an allegory is an interesting word. Now, you need to understand this, because everything that you got on this dimension is an allegory. So an allegory is a representation of an abstract or spiritual meaning through a concrete or material form. Drop mic, exit stage left. Okay, let me go back to the stage. Let me say it again. I don't know if you got it. The word allegory, that it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, that says everything that's contained inside the Helios Biblios, you call it, I call it the Southern book, you call it the Bible, the book by Baal. Do y'all know who Baal is? I don't know if you understand. Do you know who the beep is Baal? You might want to look it up. I'm just saying. It's a book by Baal. Now, Baal is a guy that gave you clothes. You call it skin. So if you take off your clothes, you take off your clothes. C-L-O-T-H-E-S or C-L-O-S-E-S. Which one you got, clothes or clothes? That's why friendship with this world, if you don't close this world, if you don't take off your clothes, pick up your cross. Deny yourself, take off your clothes. That means close the door. Deny yourself. Yourself is your skin. The skin, if you don't take off your skin, that represents this attachment to this world. Now, the Bible says it this way. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world. You care about this world, brother. That is why you are in Groundhog's Day. That's why you are reincarnation. Reincarnation. Re means return. In means interior. Carnation means carnal. Carnal means carne gasada, which means meat. Return in a meat suit. That's why you stay in this damn flesh. Not you, but people that you know. And the only way to get out this flesh suit is to take off your skin. Your skin represents your life. Your skin represents your clothes that you wear. Your clothes represents the clothing of your current consciousness, which means concerns. Groundhog's Day is concern day. Every day you wake up, you're concerned about your status. One of my sons, B. Jola, he was a little kid. He didn't see anything valuable. He struggled. And now I thought I was like, man, I was kind of worried about him. Now I'm not worried about him because he got it right. BJ has no attachments to this world. You can't control him. Everything else that my daughters and my other sons was concerned about, my son, Roderick, wasn't interested in that. He got it as a kid. That took me 50 years to get. He was born with that understanding. Friendship with this world makes you trapped in this world. So if you learn it, you become it. So we really don't want what we think we want. You really don't want to be friends with this world. You think you do, but you don't. Nah, bro, you do not. You do not want to fall in love with this world because you're falling in love with reincarnation. You're falling in love with this loop of returning back in this dirt suit, living the same day, going through the same shit, and been having the same concerns every day. So what I teach in my life management system is to find your dear Kinnear, your uniqueness, and get the beep out. Deny yourself, your skin, your clothes. Close the door, pick up your cross, your crux, and follow. If they worship, follow. Now, I'm not saying not to. I'm just saying when you're done worshiping, follow. That's the next level. Follow. Now, you should be thinking, if you are a sharp cookie, like I know you are, there is a thought that is bouncing around in your brain right now. And the thought that you have that's reoccurring inside of your skull right now as I'm speaking to you, you're thinking, I didn't ask for this. I'm just here. You're thinking, like I used to think, this is just another layer on top of another layer, on top of another layer. I've heard this same thing said by some other guru, some other quote-unquote master teacher. I heard some other reverend like the bishop saying the same bullshizmets. That's what you should be saying. So let me encourage you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. That's the one before Hebrews chapter 11. Now, remember, people say a lot of negative stuff about the Bible. That's the greatest book on the planet. That's why that book has, no matter how many people try to mess with it to get rid of it, that book contains the only way to exit the matrix. Argue and debate about Jesus, man, that's a dead issue. You can talk about it all you want. Whether he existed or not, who cares? His system works. His dogs hunt. Now, again, Jesus himself said that Jesus was a parable. That means allegory. Now, did I say the definition? I don't think I did. Allegory. Now, Jesus said that everything in this book is an allegory. It's representing an abstract or spiritual meaning through a concrete form. It did not say that it was concrete. It did not say that it was real. It did not say that it was true. It said it was an allegory. Now, the word in the Greek, allegory, means to speak or to imply something. Agora in the Greek means, again, meant to act. So I'm going to say something that is meaning for you to take action. I'm not telling you that it's real. I'm not telling you that it's freaking really happened. I'm just making up a story, a fable. The word allegory, parable means fable. That means a tale. That means not real. But it's designed to make you take action, not worship it. Now, again, I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed, nor am I the brightest bulb in the pack. I understand. However, my light comes on. I got something called results. Now, the word allegory, it means a poem, a play, or a picture in which the apparent meaning of the characters and the events is used to symbolize a deeper moral or spiritual meaning. It is a technique or a tool that's designed to speak to you, to get you to move or do. Allegora. Allah, I'm going to speak to you. Gora, so that way you can move. Allah comes from, or has the underlining, it literally means to speak about something in the form of an alias. So Allah comes from the word alias, A-L-I-A-S. It's an alias. Agora means assembly or to assemble. I'm going to speak to you in a figurative way so that way you can agora, assemble. That means go somewhere. So you got to go assemble to create an assembly. It's an alias. Now, an alias is like a fake name that you use. Assembly is a gathering together of a bunch of people. That is an allegory. I'm going to say fake things so that way a bunch of people can come together. Let me say that again. I'm going to say a bunch of fake stuff in order to gather a bunch of people together. Let me say that again. This is everything on this earth is fake. So that way we can do what? Gather a bunch of people together. Now, what happens if you think it's real? You're going to gather in the wrong place. Or you're going to gather and pursue the wrong things. That's why you're in Groundhog's Day. Because you think the stories that's inside of every text, except the ones underneath the Vatican, that you ain't got access to. The only way you can get to it is the same way I got to it. By tapping into the asterisk records. That means your gut. That means inside of your head, like my son BJ, he just knew. I remember I used to take him to church when he was a little kid. He didn't like it. And I used to beat him and make him go. And he just knew something was off. I used to be out working 3 jobs, and my son BJ would look at me like I was crazy. He said, "Dad, I don't understand why you're doing that." Well, so we can live here. I don't understand why we need this big house. Why do we need 2 cars? Why are you chasing money? Let me make sure you understand, because the Bible talks about out of the mouth of babes, the truth will be established. So right now, as I'm talking to you, go talk to your children if you got any. They'll tell you the truth. They will tell you that your children will look you in the eye. You got a child that's under the age of 8. Go talk to them. They will tell you. If you find a child and watch what they do, they play. They don't understand why you are stressed out. I just say my heart goes out to women. Men too, but primarily women, because I saw my mama go through it. And I see women stressed out because of their kids, because they can't let them go. Friendship with your children kills you. Friendship with your husband, woman, kills you. Friendship with your wife, man, kills you. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Brother Will, what are you saying, brother? So we say we shouldn't be married, brother? And you're saying that we shouldn't have no, we shouldn't care about our children, man? What kind of whack-ass doctrine is that, brother? Did you ever look at the definition of the word? Friendship? Love without ownership means loving without owning or possessing it. You see, I got a car in my driveway. If somebody comes into my driveway right now and get in my car, I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to get my Desert Eagle, I'm going to get my Glock, and I'm going to try to put 2 rounds in the back of their skull. Why? I own that car, homie. What do you think your wife thinks about you? If you don't believe me, brother, go ask your wife. She owns you. Try to leave if you want to. Whatever you possess, possesses you. I suggest you possess one thing, the word. Period. Drop mic, exit stage left. If you possess anything else other than the word, you're in deep chemistry. Because whatever you possess, possesses you. The only way to get out of the matrix is to don't own the matrix. The matrix is the mess that you call this world, which produces all the stress. All your stress comes from trying to keep the shizness that you got. Get rid of all the shizness, you get rid of all your stress. Now, I know what you're thinking. I used to think the same thing. Until I get it. Now, I sleep like a baby at night. I don't give a flying beep, 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 beep. Now, that's unfortunate because I know a lot of people don't really understand what I'm saying. I'm going to get a lot of hate mail and all this other stuff. It just comes with the territory of being unique. But when you find your niche, homie, when you find your calling, when you find your destiny, what happens? All of a sudden, nobody has no control over you because nobody owns you. Who owns me? Who do I report to? Let me tell every man something. Men. Got Negroes think, well, let me rephrase that. Let me back up. Let me not get in my flesh. All of you wonderful lights of God. All of you wonderful star children. I work for somebody else. Whoever you work for, they own you. As a man, you should not work for nobody but your damn self. Now, is it going to take you? It took me 50 years. So if you're 20 and you're hearing this message, don't get your panties in a wad. It's going to take you time to figure this shit out. It's okay. But your intention should be to work for yourself. If you don't deploy yourself, you're going to be employed by somebody else. Women don't respect men who work for other men. They ain't going to tell you that, but they won't respect you. Men, let me tell you something else. Women don't want boys. Now, they want you, they want to turn you into a boy because they're just trying to see if you're going to bite. They don't want no boy. So if you cannot be a man by telling babe, if you don't do this, I'm out. And if she does it, and if you ain't out, then she knows you are B-I-T-C-H. You her B-I-T-C-H. So if you don't understand that, guess what happens in your life? You go through life, and you will always work for somebody else because of the inability to exercise your God-given right. So your God-given right is found inside of the God-given word. If you own anything except those words, whatever that thing that you own, owns you. So your job is to simply understand the laws of the pleroma, or what we call the universe. I'm not talking about man-made ordinances. I'm talking about universal spiritual laws that come from the Gathon, not the appearance of those. What we have is a shadow or a form of godliness that has no power. So how do we know that, though? Well, let's go over to the Helios Biblios in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it says something that's very, very profound. It says that for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year by year by year, a.k.a. Groundhog's Day, a.k.a. same shizness over and over again, a.k.a. you keep doing the same old thing every day and you keep getting the same results, that dog don't hunt. Now, let me go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 again. And let's read it again. Let's get some clarity. Let's get some understanding. Let me make sure that you are crystal clear on why you keep repeating the same thing. And the only way out is for you to stop possessing things, because whatever you possess possesses you. Your attachment is called the cares of this world. I'm trying to help somebody today. This is the only way to take off your clothes, C-L-O-S-E-S, which is your clothes, C-L-O-T-H-E-S, which is your skin, which is the largest organ inside of the body. So anyone who wishes to find his life must lose his life. Life is clothes. Clothes is clothes. So you got to take off your skin. You got to take off your clothes. That's friendship with this world. You got to let it go. But unfortunately, you're going to say the same thing that I hear all the time. But the world, those are my children. You telling me to let them go? Yep, that's what I did to mine. I let them go. I love all my children, but I let them go. People tell me all the time, man, you let your children. My children was I remember my son had a senior party. My daughter saw they were in the backyard. They had alcohol. They were all in the backyard drinking. The parents said, what? You let your children drink, brother? Hell yeah, I let them drink. Them suckers are grown. My daughter getting ready to get married here pretty soon. They're going to have a plethora of alcohol. They like to drink. So when they start drinking, I get my black ass in my car and go home. That's their life. I don't own them. I don't control them. I don't try to keep them under my thumb. I don't try to dictate. Now, I used to when I was young, dumb, and stupid. But I'm not doing that anymore. Because if I try to own them, then they can try to own me. That dog don't hunt. So let's go back again so you can see the shadow. Now, remember, everything I teach, it's in the Bible. And it's outside the Bible. And it's inside of science. It's called skion, S-K-I-A, in the Greek, in the original text. Anybody want to blow their cookies? Look at that word, skion, S-K-I-A, or skinos, S-K-O-N-O-S. If you really want to blow your cookies, that's Groundhog's Day. You are in the shadow. That's why it's called a parable. And if you really, like really, really want to shock your world, read Galatians 4:24 over and over again. Let it sink in. It's going to be hard. If you are a traditionalist, like my son BJ, it ain't going to be hard for him. He was telling me this today. I didn't believe him. I said, BJ, go out there, man, and join the system. They dad interested in joining the system. The system is whack. I said, what do you mean the system is whack? It's a little kid telling me this. I said, son, you got to go to college, get your degree, go out there. Man, I ain't going to college. He sees that the system is a shadow. It's whack. And I'm saying not to join the system. No, I'm just saying don't own it. Don't give your power to the system. Don't go into the system and get a degree and put all of your power, give your energy to that degree, thinking that that degree is going to give you energy back. No, it's going to take it, and it's going to prostitute you. You will be working for it. That's the system. That's the matrix. That's Groundhog's Day. So Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law. Everything on this earth is based upon universal spiritual laws. Is it not? Show me one guru out there that does not teach the seven Hermetic laws. I'm the only one that don't. Show me a guru who does not teach universal spiritual law. I don't know one. Now, I teach the law of the Paloma or the Peru. That's the law that's above what you call universal spiritual law. Now, I've been saying this for 20 years. I talked about my experience in law enforcement. There are municipal ordinances, there are state statutes, there are federal laws, and then there's God, which is the archon. It ain't the real God. There's God's principles. Everybody has the principles of thought. Everybody has the hermeneutic or the Egyptian principles. But do you have the agathon principle, which is one? You got that? Mm-mm. I've never heard it taught. Now, I'm not saying I'm the long ranger. I know somebody out there teaching it. I just ain't heard it. So, again, let's go back to Hebrews so you can understand. Now, Hebrews 10 and 11 is the foundation of getting out of Groundhog's Day. If you apply that in your life, your intention will override this dimension. The only way to exit this dimension is with God-given intention. It's called your niche. It's called your uniqueness. It's called your problem. So Hebrews 10 says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things. So we got a shadow of money, but we don't have the real money. We don't have the image of the money. We don't have the image of health. We don't have the image of wisdom or relationship. All we got is a shadow. Now go out in the sun, if you want to prove this biologically, and let the sun hit you and then look down to your left or your right, you are going to see a shadow. Now, is the shadow you? Now, what does my name mean? The name Bekaziah in Hebrew, what does it mean? In the shadow of God. Let me say that again. My name in Hebrew means shadow. I wish I could make this up. It's just so good. I mean, it's just like, damn. It's like a script that was already written before I got here. Well, it says in the book of Jeremiah. Do you not know it's called predestination? That's why everything I know is internal. It comes from my gut. The only way out the matrix is to follow your gut. Like my son, Broderick, been doing since he was 8. He's been tempted to dibble and dabble in the system because the system looks like it's working. But in the end, it costs you your soul. Why? The more shizness you possess, the more shizness possess you. Let me say it again. You got your children, you trying to carnal. You're trying to, you know, love. Biggest mistake you can make in your life. Why? All the energy you're putting into them is the energy that they use to take out of you. That's why you're tired all the time. Not you, but somebody that you know. Then make sure you understand. You decide where you get your energy from by putting it over there. Now, I used to put my money into other people. I'm not putting the keys to my happiness in nobody else's pocket ever again. Now, I used to when I was young, dumb, and stupid. I put the keys to my happiness in somebody else's pocket. And I wondered why they didn't drive and take me where I wanted to go. That's Groundhog's Day. I highly recommend that you take the keys out of your energy that you gave. How did you give your energy? Whatever you're concerned about is where your energy's at. Are you concerned about your children? Your children own you. You concerned about your job? Your job owns you. You concerned about your wife? Your wife owns you. You concerned about your house? Your house owns you. Your house is pimping you out. Whatever you're concerned about owns you, man. That's the universe. That's Groundhog Day. It keeps you in this loop. It's a shadow. The house is a shadow. Your children are a shadow. Your job is a shadow. Everything on this earth is a freaking shadow of the original. The original. That's what you are. You are an original. There ain't nobody else like you. But because you don't understand your originalness, your originality is the key to exiting out of Groundhog's Day. You will keep making this circular pattern of an 8, which is half of a 3. So a 3, which is what I am, is half of an 8, which is the Kirka or the Ouroboros, the snake swallowing its own tail. So the only way out is exactly what Jesus said. Notice Adam and Eve were naked until they sinned or signed, S-I-N-E, sine wave. What is that? The Ouroboros, the snake, the wave. That means they put on skin. Remember, skin, what does it represent? Clothes, C-L-O-T-H-E-S, which represents clothes, C-L-O-S-E-S. Clothes. So when you put on clothes, when you're concerned about something, you close yourself off from God, from your uniqueness, from your anointing, from your power. You are separating yourself from your true authentic power. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, the law, which is everything that we got here, is based upon universal laws. That's a shadow of something else. Now remember, this whole production down here is an unauthorized production. It's a shadow of heaven, which is where you're from. So the physical realm is a shadow of the spiritual realm. So if you are attaching yourself to the physical realm, you're attaching yourself to Groundhog's Day. Fictitious. You stay in the loop. Detach, brother. Detach, sister. That's what Jesus said. Deny yourself. That's why he's the only way. Now, you can argue about lower level, what I call nutsack doctrine if you want to. Did he really walk around? Was he really crucified? Was his name Jesus? I can't find his grave. That's all non-issues. What's the issue is, does his dogs hunt? Yes, they do. In fact, that's the only way out. The only way out is the same way Jesus got out. So if you do not do exactly what he did, number one, deny yourself. Number two, pick up your cross. That's your niche. Number three, follow him. Do what he did. What did he do? He said, I'm not going to do my will. Get rid of your will. What is your will? Your will is for the things of this world. If you don't get rid of your will, it interferes with his will. What is his will? His will is your will. What is his will? That you become a single standing column of waveform energy. What does that mean? Don't give your energy away. How do you give your energy away? By being concerned. So what are you concerned about? Well, brother, I'm concerned about, you know, bitcoins, or I'm concerned about, you know, the stock market, or I'm concerned about the fact that, you know what, they're killing animals, you know, or they're cutting down all the trees, or I'm concerned about, you know, chemtrails in the air, brother, or, you know, I'm concerned about the gas prices. I'm concerned about, you know, like, you know, what's going on with the African-American community, brother. You concerned? Really? So whatever you're concerned about, it ain't concerned about you. You just giving your energy to it. It's just sucking up all your chi. So when it comes time to go do something of that's of real value, you ain't got no energy. You gave it all away. So whatever you give your energy to by being concerned about it, that's what owns you. Whatever you give your energy to, that's what owns you. Let me say it again. Maybe. Whatever you give your energy to, that's what owns you. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says friendship with this world makes you an enemy of the spirit realm or God. Take off your clothes. That's the only way to close the door. It is my prayer. I wish I had time. I have people that's in the life management program, and it's really awesome to see their growth and their understanding. And there's a lot of people who are struggling with the basics. So let me make sure that you understand. This universe that we live in, your manifestation is delayed. Your manifestation is delayed. That means your intentions, your true God-given intention, is in a time warp because of your concerns. The moment you stop being concerned about what other people think about you, the moment you stop being concerned about, you know, getting a bigger car than your neighbor, the moment you stop being concerned about getting a woman with big chichis on your arm so when you go out in public, all the other brothers can look at you and say, ooh, man, he's an alpha male. The moment you stop being concerned about whatever you're concerned about is the moment that your true God-given intentions will start to manifest automatically. Intention comes from intent, eye on. Future tense, there's present tense. All of those are nonsense. There's only one tent. That is tent. It means you go inside. Building you should be in. You should go in this tent. Intent. Intent means you're getting out of your clothes, out of your skin, out of the cares of this world. You're going into, or you're going inside the tent of God, the original tent that was built out in the desert where people will walk into and see the Shekinah glory of God. That's the only reason you're on this planned net, is to get out of past tense, get out of future tense. Get out of present tense. All of those are designed to keep you from being in tent. That's the purpose of what I do. It is my prayer that you join me either with the Club 167 or the Life Management System. Email me today at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. I will be doing on February the 15th a 7-hour series that I will share with you exactly what your God-given uniqueness is, which is the key to exiting the matrix. The only way to get out of Groundhog's Day, to stop this cycle of returning in meat, is for you to take your dear Kinnear, your God-given uniqueness, your problem, your mental disorder, whatever your flaw is, whatever everybody tells you that, oh, man, you're this, whatever that is, that's your meal ticket. That's your meal ticket. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. But remember, you are running from you. That's what we talked about yesterday. I was telling my son, and I don't tell him this enough. You know, my oldest son was, out of all my children, the most difficult to parent because I tried to control him, and his spirit would not allow it. And so unbeknownst to me at that time, that resistance to the worldly authority, that's his meal ticket. That has gotten him into more trouble than anything else in his life. He got into a lot of problems because he has a brain that works, and shizness don't make sense. doesn't make sense for a cop to pull you over while you driving home just because of the color of your skin. That doesn't make sense, and he tells people it doesn't make sense, and that gets him in trouble. So that's his most pressing problem. So what's his product? His product is to resist the devil, and he will flee. That resistance that he has to teach to everybody else. Why? He has it. He was born with it. He didn't go to no class. He didn't go to no school. He came out the womb different from all of his brothers and sisters. He had something that was born, that was instilled into his spirit by a Gothon, by the big G, that says, this world is whack. Don't join the system. And I tried to make him join. And he kept telling me, Dad, I ain't joining it, man. No matter how much I beat him, no matter how much I disrespected him, I'm proud of my son. Proud of you, BJ. Proud of you, man. Because he didn't allow me to break his spirit. I have mad respect for all my children, but my son, Broderick, he's going to change the world. Like my son, whatever it is that people try to use to break you with, that told you because of this we don't like you, whatever that is, that's your product. Monetize it. Make that product, make that problem work for you. Brothers and sisters, join me on February the 15th. We take the gloves off, and I'm going to tell it to you straight, as they say. Y'all say y'all ready for the truth? People are telling me, Brother Will, don't talk in circles no more. Okay. Y'all ready? If y'all ready, join me on February the 15th for my seminar. I'm going to spend 1 hour on each of them seven modules. I'm going to tell it to you straight. We ain't going to water this down. This is straight 100% proof. We're drinking it straight out the bottle. It's like Everclear. 100 proof. So just make sure you got your big boy drawers and your big girl panties on. Starting on February the 15th, email me for more information at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May it work. Instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you. Make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity.